Welcome to Simply Scottish. I'm your host, Andrew McDermott. Today, I'd like to tell you about my recent experiences in California, in the footsteps of the famous Scottish-American naturalist, conservationist, and inventor, John Muir. I'll report on my visit to the John Muir Papers and Exhibit in Stockton, California, the largest repository of Muir's papers in the world. Plus, enjoy some great music as well, like this collaboration from Valtos and Project Smock. It's called Liberate. Let's listen together now. Hello there, and thanks for tuning in to another episode of Simply Scottish. Thanks again for being a listener. If you enjoyed today's episode, consider taking the next step and joining my client on Patreon. You'll get immediate access to part two of today's episode on John Muir, as well as other exclusive episodes, articles, and more. Pick from three levels of support at patreon.com/simplyscottish. That's patreon.com/simplyscottish. Thanks in advance for your support. You know, I do very much enjoy hearing from listeners. A quick hello to a few of you who have recently gotten in touch with me. I heard from Kent in Marion, Ohio. He listens to Simply Scottish on the Celtic Radio Network at celticradio.net. Kent enjoys learning about his wife's ancestral home as part of the Clan MacIntyre, and he enjoys the music on the show. Kent, it's good to have you tuning in. I also heard from Brent, a professor in Arkansas. He reports that Simply Scottish provides me such peace and comfort, while at the same time flaming my passion for all things Scottish. He's actually visiting Scotland this month and plans to hit up Loch Ness, Culloden, Inverness, Stirling, and the MacGregor area. Well, Brent, thanks for reaching out, and I hope the trip is a memorable one. If you want to tell me about your connection to Scotland and from where you tune in to Simply Scottish, just get in touch. Use the contact form at simplyscottish.com or email me at andrew@simplyscottish.com. Before I share with you my experiences of visiting the John Muir archive and exhibit, let's jump back to music. Muir was a big fan of Scotland's national bard, Robert Burns. when he embarked on his 1,000-mile trek to the Gulf from Wisconsin in 1867, he brought only 4 books with him, and guess who was on the shortlist? Rabbi, the Plowman Poet. Here's traditional Scottish singer Sheena Wellington singing one of my favourite Byrne songs, My Love is Like a Red, Red Rose. Wellington famously sang the Robert Burns song A Man's a Man for All That at the opening ceremony of the Scottish Parliament in 1999. She's accompanied here on the concertina by Simon Tumir and the guitar by Kevin McKenzie.
Oh, my love is like a red, red rose that's newly sprung in June. And my love is like the melody that's sweetly played in a tune. As fair art thou, my bonnie lass, sae deep in love am I, and I will love thee still, my dear, till a' the seas run dry, till a' the seas run dry, my dear, till a' the seas run dry, and I will love thee still, my dear, till a' the seas run dry. Till a' the seas run dry, my dear, and the rocks melt with the sun. Oh, I will love thee still, my dear, while the sun's o' life still run. And fare thee weel, my only love, and fare thee weel a while, and I will come again, my love, though 'twere 10,000 miles.
You're listening to Simply Scottish, and a lovely rendition there of the classic Burns song, My Love is Like a Red, Red Rose. By the way, there's an easy way to track down the music I play on the show. I've made show notes with song and artist details freely available to everyone on our Patreon portal. You'll find the show notes at patreon.com/simplyscottish. I've recently taken an enthusiastic interest in the life of John Muir. I've known about him for many years, of course, but he came back on my radar in the last year or two. I did an episode of Simply Scottish profiling Muir's life some years back. You can find it in the archives, John Muir, Nature's Defender. And then last year, I found Muir's essay about his experience visiting the Grand Canyon. The way he wrote about a sunrise at the great site was inspiring, and so I made an episode called John Muir and the Grand Canyon. You can find that one in our back episodes too. As a senior fellow at the Discovery Institute, I've been studying technology for the last 6 years or so, and I recently reread about an experience in Muir's life that became a pivotal moment for him and really changed the course of his life, or at least confirmed which direction he was going to go. Muir was an avid inventor in his early adult life, and he was all set to pursue a career as a machinist and inventor. At a carriage manufactory in Indianapolis, Muir was temporarily blinded when a sharp file slipped and gouged his right eye. He was confined to a darkroom for months of recovery, unsure whether he would see the beauty of nature again. He later wrote that as soon as he recovered from the accident, he bade adieu to his mechanical inventions and dedicated the rest of his life, quote, to the study of the inventions of God, unquote. His very next act was his 1,000-mile walk to the Gulf, and Muir, as we remember him today, emerged. I plan to write and podcast more about this episode of Muir's life, so look out for that. So, Muir has been on my mind lately. I recently took a trip to Dallas to speak at Discovery Institute's annual Science and Faith Conference on the topic of technology. On the way to Texas, my family spent a few days in California's Bay Area, which is a key location for John Muir sites. It seemed like a great time to visit the John Muir papers and exhibit at the University of the Pacific in Stockton. It's the largest collection of Muir papers in the world. I had studied some of their holdings online and was very excited at the prospect of paying a visit in person. The curator of the Muir exhibit and papers collection, Mike, was both knowledgeable and very helpful. My wife and I walked into the exhibit area, a room off the main library lobby. The first thing to look at was John Muir's personal library of 1,000 volumes, housed in his original bookcases. Also in the room were two paintings from Muir's friend and artist William Keith, as well as walls adorned in photographs of Yosemite Valley. The room also included one of Muir's writing desks. I asked Mike if Muir's copy of Milton's Paradise Lost was among the volumes on display. He nodded, and in a few seconds pulled Muir's original copy of Milton down from the shelves and opened it up for me to look at. This was the copy of Paradise Lost that Muir took with him on his long trek to the Gulf after his eye accident in 1867. After a while, Mike ushered us downstairs to the Special Collections Center. My wife and I sat for over an hour while Mike brought us box after box of original Muir letters, manuscripts, fragments, and other written material. What a humbling and exhilarating experience it was, poring over various writings of Muir that I had listed in advance to look at. I looked at some of Muir's correspondence with Gene Carr, a longtime friend and mentor of Muir's, who wrote some stirring and encouraging words to Muir while he recovered from his accident. I read Muir's tribute to Robert Burns in his own handwriting, and as I did, I thought, here I am, a Scotsman reading a Scotsman on another Scotsman. I also reviewed fragments of thoughts and early passages of material that would later become part of his published Nature writing. I could have spent all day in such a place, but alas, we had a flight to Texas to catch that evening. So we thanked Mike for his time and went on our way. It was a remarkable experience for me, and it brought me closer to the life of this amazing Scotsman turned American whose legacy endures still today. I also discovered what every researcher must come across at some point, and that is the challenge of reading handwriting written from previous centuries. It was sometimes like deciphering a code. Now, as amazing an experience as that was, I wouldn't be able to visit that place often, being based in the Seattle area. But the library has an extensive collection of scanned online material from the John Muir papers, so I can actually go online and see many of these same papers and high-quality scans on the university website. So I'm thankful for that, because when you're endeavoring to learn more about someone's life, their published work is one thing, but their private correspondence and unpublished fragments can be a real treasure trove of insight into their intellect and their character. If you'd like to browse this amazing collection online, go to pacific.edu and search John Muir. When I was in California, I also got to visit John Muir's historic ranch home and orchard property in Martinez, California, now a National Historic Site. It was a beautiful house, and it gave my family and I some additional insight into Muir's family life and work. In part 2 of Finding John Muir, I discuss my experience of visiting Muir's beautiful house in Martinez. I also read an excerpt of Muir's writing from his book My First Summer in the Sierra on the beauty of California's Yosemite Valley. Plus, you'll hear some more music related to John Muir. The Part 2 episode is available only to clan members, though, just one of the perks I'm giving to a small, dedicated group of listeners who are helping to offset the costs of producing and promoting the show. Subscribe today to listen to Finding John Muir Part 2, plus additional bonus episodes and articles, as well as other benefits. Get access at patreon.com/simplyscottish. Well, that's it for today's episode. Get in touch with me anytime at andrew@simplyscottish.com. Tell me where in the world you're listening from and what your love and connection is to Scotland. We'll close with a track I discovered as I was searching for music for this episode. It's from a 2005 album by LA musician Doran Diamond. In the notes to the song John Muir on his Bandcamp page, Diamond says the music is what I imagine John Muir heard in his head as he explored the great unknown. I like the way Diamond puts that. It's interesting to imagine what Muir thought and heard in his head as he took in the magnificent natural beauty he experienced in North America and Europe. As a Scotsman, he obviously enjoyed the songs of Robert Burns and other traditional musicians. I'd like to think he would enjoy this track too, perhaps sitting on an overlook, taking in a stunning view. Let's connect again soon for your next virtual trip to Scotland. Until then, be of good cheer. I'm Andrew McDermott. Thanks for listening.
Simply Scottish is hosted and produced by Andrew McDermott. Show content, copyright, Simply Scottish Media. All music is used with consent of copyright holders. Continue your Simply Scottish experience at simplyscottish.com. Thanks for listening.